think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart
most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
Everybody has to cut themselves some slack.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy. And this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, from a recording of a virtual Views and Brews, we answer your questions about the pandemic.
So the question would be, how much time should we be spending on social media? Because at the moment, that seems to be a format where people throw out all of their opinions, whether they're right or wrong, and the arguments and hostility seems to be very easy to escalate tremendously. And yet, we're locked down, and so social media is a form of interaction.
Yeah, the thing about social media that's different from a lot of kinds of interactions is usually we choose who we interact with. And generally, I don't know about you, but I choose to interact with nice people. I mean, sometimes, you know, you have to just deal with people who are not particularly pleasant to be around for work or whatever. But I think one of the things that happens when you look at somebody's Facebook thing and they have however many people can ping them with whatever kind of opinion, or, you know, something comes up on a feed that you didn't even select, but somebody at Facebook decided that that's something that you needed to see, or at least that they thought you would look longer if you saw it. That kind of thing is intruding in our lives in ways that normal human interactions don't. I think one of the things about interacting with people and exchanging ideas and opinions and those kinds of things are sort of lubricated by the idea that I've already decided I'm interested in what you have to say. I actually am interested in you as a person. And so now we're going to have this exchange of ideas about this thing. Most of that, if not all of it, is absent on social media. Somebody plops in with a point of view or an image or whatever, and I don't necessarily know this person very well, and they don't necessarily know me very well. And now suddenly I'm interacting with something as if we have a relationship, but we have no relationship. You know, I mean, I think the word social media is a misnomer. It's just media. There's nothing social about it. What you do when you interact with other human beings, that's social. When you put stuff online where there's stuff coming at you from unknown corners of the planet, and some of it's appealing and some of it's not, but some algorithm at Facebook or Twitter has decided that that's what it wants you to see, that's not social. Human beings over millennia, organisms over millennia have evolved ways of interacting with people that are ultimately productive. I mean, one of the reasons that human beings formed groups and tribes and collections of people is because we found that we could do things productively, collectively, more so than we could do them singly. So that's an important thing. But social media gives the illusion of that, but it's only an illusion.
We had a great question, which we kind of talked about at the very beginning, and that's, how are you supposed to get anything done while you're trying to homeschool your kids and work your normal job? Honestly, it's completely irrational. Yeah,
it is. And, you know, we've talked a lot on shows about the fact that also, and this is a source of tremendous tension that I've been hearing about, there is a disproportionate share of the work ends up falling on women in heterosexual relationships. And so we are systematically making the lives of many women much harder by expecting a full-time effort at work and to have to do an enormous amount of work in homeschooling. And so one of the first things to say about this is, as difficult as this is a great time for couples to think a lot about the division of labor. It's very hard to really do that in an explicit way when you have to rush off to work and to things like that. So number one, everybody's got to play a role. You can document stuff, right? I mean, which is not a bad idea in this instance, right? Just to say, look, you know, and document it by saying, look, here are some subjects that the kids are studying. You know, you take this one, I'm going to take this one.
Yeah.
And these are the hours that this is going to happen, and create a schedule just for sanity's sake.
Yeah.
But I also think it's really important for people who are trying to hold down a full-time job and to homeschool kids and everything else to do two other things. One, to be in constant contact with people at work about what it is you can handle. This is a period of time in which hopefully many businesses are being as accommodating as possible. Some are, some are not, but that's another piece. Don't expect a superhuman effort out of yourself. You're going to do the best you can, and you're going to have to accept that. On top of that, we have lived in a society where, you know, while I didn't walk uphill both ways in the driving snow as a kid, I did walk to school as a kid. You know, by fifth grade, I had a key to my house, and I came home and I got home by myself and did my homework. And if I had to go to a little league game, I hopped on my bicycle with my mitt and bat on the back of the bike and pedaled down to the game. And we don't do that anymore. Well, you know what? Here's an opportunity to give your kids of all ages, not all ages, maybe not two-year-olds, but you know, six and above, a little bit more responsibility for organizing some things, because they can handle it. And so, you know, I think part of another piece of the problem, and they don't have any experience with it, so we have to bootstrap them into this. We have to teach them to keep a little list of stuff to do, and they're going to hate it, but it's so important.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing is too, and this has to do with work and parenting and other responsibilities. Everybody has to cut themselves some slack. Yeah. And whether the people around you are cutting any slack or not, well, tough. You need to cut yourself some slack. I mean, the expectation that productivity will continue apace while we're having to make the adjustments that we're making is just nonsense. This is a really challenging time for everybody, and some people exponentially more so than others. But people who are trying to work from home and have children at home and trying to supervise the children's schoolwork at home, everybody needs to say, look, this can't all get done, and it's okay if it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, right now is probably more important than most times to establish a hierarchy about what stuff really matters and what stuff matters way less.
Next week, we'll talk about the Mandela Effect with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. David Alvarez is usually our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head back in my closet in Austin, Texas.